Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are in our last segment. I was a little, because I was traveling and I'm trying to, I left Milwaukee, got to central Wisconsin as soon as we sign off today at 2 o'clock, heading even further north. So I've been a little out of sorts. And so I was somewhat concerned as I tried like to prep and be very organized and prepared for the show. But not shockingly, we had zero problem. We didn't even get to all the things that we wanted to talk about. But with where our conversation has gone and talking about how to re-message or take a different angle or find common ground on some of the issues or topics that you and I, being more on the left side of things, how to do some mental jujitsu or verbal jujitsu in how you talk about things with someone who disagrees with you. And having spent time at a certain more right-leaning talk show or like sure. radio station, actually leaving the show yesterday, I heard a specific talk show host complaining about this new trial experiment Madison is doing where they're giving, and it's not taxpayer money, but it is an experiment of giving kind of a universal basic income to X amount of families. It's $500 a month.
Sure.
And the way he just talked about it with so much disdain of like giving handouts
right.
to these people. And that's not how you help people out of poverty. And it, you know, I could already hear what the callers were going to say. And I do think that this is a big one, and it's a big one that I hear a fair amount since coming back to Wisconsin, is like this, this thought that the social safety net is theft and it's not actually helping people and it creates people who are lazy. And how can you talk about that topic in an effective way with someone who kind of fundamentally believes that you should be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps? And if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Sure. So, okay.
Did I stump you?
No. But I'm glad this is the longest segment, because now sit down, relax, and I'll talk for the next 14 minutes. So I've heard it as well. And it normally goes something like this. That's my money, right? I don't want to pay for ABC XYZ. Right? And the math on it, and this isn't part of the argument, right? The math on it is, no, it's not your money, because really you're not paying for the road outside your street, let alone my insurance or, you know, somebody going through school or whatever. But let me offer some examples. So when we get into this, it's really easy, first of all, to want to get into a debate structure of I'm right, you're wrong, right? Of I'm trying to prove your point wrong. And instead, this needs to be a negotiation. We can say a persuasion, but I think a negotiation is a better way to look at it. And in a negotiation, and I'm quoting a lot from an FBI hostage negotiator, Chris Voss, who I love and read his stuff and whatever. But a negotiation isn't I win, you lose. A negotiation can ultimately be we both win, right? And that gets into game theory and what are the strategies and what are the outcomes and all this stuff. So let me use an example from the UW system. I had mentioned before that Tommy Thompson had a bigger budget proposal than ever before when he was president of UW. And one of the things that was in his proposal, and I received this as a candidate, was he wanted to put a UW branch in the prison systems.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? And I can guarantee you that most conservative listeners and the GOP lost their mind, because why would we spend money on people in prison, right? They don't deserve it. The list goes on. Here's the economics. Here's the math. We in Wisconsin spend $39,000 a year for every person that we've got in prison. $39,000. which is and we have one of the highest incarceration rates in the country, right? And the United States has one of the highest, if not the highest, incarceration rate, certainly amongst the industrialized nations, right? So we spend a stupid amount of money to keep people in jail, and we don't get anything for it at the end of the day, right?
No, we get some cheap labor.
Right. We pay them 37 cents, and gee, that's not dehumanizing at all. So the question has to become, and these are questions that can be asked. So rather than just saying, no, you're wrong, it's, okay, well, do you know what it costs to keep somebody in prison? All right. If not, it's $39,000 a year. Do you know what the recidivism rate is? And I apologize for dropping $5 words. I know I'm not supposed to. I was yelled at regularly for that. But my marketing, right? On my TikTok, you can't use $5 words. I can't say recidivism. But essentially, it's the reincarceration rate. Okay, so here's the reincarceration rate if you do not have a degree, if you don't have a four-year education. 50% means that out of the people that get out of jail, if they don't have a four-year degree, 50% of them recommit crimes and wind up back in prison, which costs us more money. The recidivism rate, if you have a degree, is 5%. So it drops by a factor of 10. So if we put education in the prison systems, and let's say it's going to cost us $10,000 a year, and I don't know what the number would be, but on average, for the UW system, we're probably around $10,000 or $12,000 a year, and in the prison systems, it would be less, presumably. And of course, it's not for everybody, right? We're not going to do it for the guys that are on death row. Not that we have death row in Wisconsin, but for the people that are going to be getting out, if we can educate them and spend an additional $10,000 a year, it means that they are 90% less likely to commit a crime on the way out. But here's the rest of it. It also means that they are more likely to integrate back into society. They are more likely to have a good paying job. They are going to see more opportunity. When we don't do that, the whole pull them up by your bootstraps, it doesn't exist because they're neck deep in quicksand, right? There are no boots. So I try to present it potentially as an economic thing. And we can do the same thing. One of the ones that got brought up a lot, and people are, Democrats in particular, are upset about with Joe Biden, is forgiving student debt. Now, I can go into the whole economics of it and what the problem is. But
this is interesting because I'm not, that is a topic I'm not sold on, not for the only reason of, like, if we don't solve why school is so expensive, what's the point of forgiving debt if the next group is just going to accumulate it again? So that's where I feel again. So go ahead.
Right. So there's two issues. It's what's current and then what do we do in the future? And the reason that we've got, part of the reason, and not the whole reason, and I get, criticized for this sometimes where it's like, oh, well, that's not the only variable. It's true. It's not the only variable. But economics, supply and demand, when the federal government started to make loans easily accessible, colleges started to get more expensive because students had easy access to money.
Well, and also it became the competition to become the school that people wanted to go to. And so the administration costs and marketing costs and having the newest buildings that the kids want to go to and live here. And the cost of being a competitive school. And so then that cost gets passed on to the students.
Right. And in 1971, when the UW system and Wisconsin State system merged, we had about 135,000 students. And now, 40 plus years later, we have 165,000 students. So we haven't increased the number of students that we have. We stopped putting money towards the supply of schools. We used to actually build more campuses. Now we just make it more expensive. But on the forgiveness side of things, or more importantly, going forward, the average college grad, and this is an average, and people are like, oh no, if you're a teacher, you don't make this, whatever, I don't care. It's the average, and that's the numbers that we have to deal with. We can't cherry pick anecdotally things out any more than you could tell me what stock is going to go up 200% next month, right? So the average college student right now makes about $600,000 more over the course of their lifetime. Which means that they're going to pay in about $150,000 more in taxes. College doesn't cost $150,000. So if the federal government actually simply provided free college education for those that wanted it, your taxes would go down. Not immediately, right? This is mm-hmm. going to happen over time. But there's the argument to the conservatives. It's more money. Guess what? It's actually not. It means that we're going to have a higher, because only about 30% of Americans have a four-year degree or higher, right? So we still have a huge portion.
Is that really all it is?
That's it. We have about 65% of students that leave high school and start college, but only about 40% of them actually finish school. And we've been consistent at like 30% for a long time. The numbers haven't moved because, again, it's more expensive.
Yeah.
And if you can get a job, right? I didn't go to college until I was 47. I started, then I left UW-Madison before they would have asked me to leave when I was like 19 years old.
Your grades weren't super high back then?
No. My juggling skills were really good though.
What about hacky sack? Were you a big hacky sacker?
I was not, but I was on the juggling club in Madison, and I actually still own torches and machetes and club. I do.
I did not see that coming. I would not have pegged that. And your two truths and a lie. Had you put that as one of the truths, I absolutely would have picked that as the lie.
Well, I'm also a certified yoga instructor, so.
Not one either.
Right.
He's man of many talents.
Right. I've practiced meditation for 30 years.
That I would have guessed that one.
That one makes sense, right? Yeah. The others, yeah. I don't look like I have a dad yoga body. That's for sure. I have a dad bod without the kids, and definitely not the yoga body. But so anyway, so it's interesting if we start to analyze and forecast a little bit down the road. And that's the hard part about politics in general, is everybody wants a solution now. Inflation, mm-hmm. we're not going to fix inflation right now, right? It's going to take a while. Is it going to come down next month? I suspect it will. Why? Well, gas prices have come down and home prices have come down. So it'll be less next month. Is it going to be zero? Of course not. But education is a great example of it's an investment. And so if we talk about it that way, where a conservative is like, that's my money. Okay, cool. How would you like in 20 years to be spending less on taxes? How would you like your health care and Medicare to actually be paid for? Because we have more people working, and that's where Medicare comes from. Do you want your Social Security to be what it should be in 20 years when you retire? Well, that requires more employees, and the more they make, the more they pay into Social Security, which benefits you down the road. But that's all long-term stuff. And those are the conversations that have to happen. And if somebody is willing to go there, and if somebody is willing to listen, that's the other requirement, of course, is that the other side also has to be willing to listen. But if they're interested in it, then we can present a different conversation than this is the right thing to do. I'll present it from a money standpoint. Cool. Because that's where so many of them go, right? I want my taxes lower. Good. You know what? Lower your taxes, more education.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we could keep talking about all this.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll just have to have you back on because I wouldn't even get to inflation, because I think that is a big one that you would have a lot of insight on as far as how to talk to people about it instead of it just being a reactionary. Well, maybe the other guys can do it better. But Adam Murphy, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you on the TikToks or anything else you want to be found on?
So Murphy for WI, which was the campaign, is still all the stuff that we've got for all the socials. Over on TikTok is where I'm most active. We'll probably change those around because laws and money and politics and all that sort of fun stuff. But I'm on Twitter and Facebook a little bit, but over on TikTok. And the whole theme of everything I was doing was ask me anything. And that continues to be the case. Let's talk politics and economics and game theory or poker or inflation or Summerfest, right?
Or Summerfest or juggling torches and machetes.
Right. It does. It throws people off.
My dad can do tennis balls, and at 6'8", he can do one and throw it under his leg, which was always a fun trick as a kid. But I'm not sure he ever, toyed with a machete. He's a little more risk averse than that. So
the torches sound really cool because the flame, so they look at night, and the machetes look fabulous down at the beach in the sun with the sun glinting off of it. I'm married for 20 some odd years, so it's not something I need to do anymore.
Fair enough.
It was fun.
All right, Adam Murphy, thank you so much for joining us today on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. When we come back from the break, the last segment, Mama Bry, it is her birthday. So we are going to celebrate.